Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1, and want to talk to us tonight about the matter of spiritual warfare, and I think this will be a help to us as we step into the rest of this week. We are pretty well acquainted with war right now. We see it being rumored everywhere, don't we? And we need to be in much prayer. We are on, I don't think that's hyperbole to say that we're on the brink of World War III. And this could become very ugly very fast. And that does affect us. And I think it affects us more than maybe we realize, especially with all that have come into our country right now that don't love our country. But that's not really the subject of tonight's lesson. It really is the spiritual battle that is being waged everywhere we go, in our homes, in our minds, and it's a reality. And just even in the last couple of days, just been realizing that Satan is constantly bringing spiritual attack. I was just noticing today, there's a particular issue that's come up towards our church two times, just two spiritual attacks towards our church in the last couple of days that I thought, well, that's just very interesting. Satan is very, very crafty and deceitful with doctrine. And so we have to constantly be on guard. So what does Paul say to a church that struggled a lot with sin, but a spiritual battle? And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 10 and verse number 1. Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. In other words, Paul is saying, when I'm with you, sometimes you don't really like what I have to say. You don't like the challenge I'm bringing to you. You don't like the doctrine that I'm sharing with you. You struggle with that. I'm base among you, but I've endeavored to do this in the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse number 2. But I beseech you, I beg you, that I may not be bold when I'm present with you with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. There's some in the church I'm having to deal with, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Like you're just in the flesh, Paul. You're just another man. It doesn't matter what you have to say. And though Paul had the responsibility to spiritually lead, he's saying there's a struggle against some of what I'm saying. But then he gets into something here very interesting. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself, notice, against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. Father, would you bless our time in your word tonight? Help us to learn how to act, how to deal with things in the midst of spiritual battle. Lord, we can be sidetracked by it, or blindsided by it, but help us to be confident as we step into the spiritual battles that are ahead of us, even this week, perhaps some that are just facing things right now. Lord, I pray that you give us direction, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So what should we do when facing spiritual battle? What should you do when you face it at work, at home, in your own mind, and we do face it? What should you do when you're facing spiritual battle, or what should you do on the battlefront, the spiritual battlefield, if you will. Well, first of all, notice that we must recognize, Paul says to them, we must recognize the right war. We need to recognize the right war. What is the war? What is the battle? And notice how he says in verse number 3-4, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Every one of us are breathing here tonight, right? Our heart is beating, and we're thankful for that. We live our lives in the flesh. We have flesh. We live our lives in the physical realm. We're walking after the flesh. You've gone places today. You've interacted with people today. You walk after the flesh. But he says, you don't war after the flesh. The battle is not in the same domain. It's not in the same realm. It's not the same battlefront. Now, the problem is you and I, oftentimes, we struggle right there because we feel like the battle is the person in front of us, or the child in front of us, or the coworker, or the problem that rises up, the email that brings bad news. We feel like the battle is just that. It's in the physical realm. But Paul says, no, we live there, but we don't battle there. That's not the battle for the believer. We don't battle after the flesh. We don't battle in the physical realm. We battle in the spiritual realm. Many of us live our lives trying to battle the physical realm. And we struggle there because we don't win battles. That's not the true battlefront. So let's identify for a moment the enemies that we all face. You can find many enemies throughout Scripture. I was reading through the life of King Saul. What a life he lived, and all the battles that he fought and lost oftentimes because he was just kind of focused in the wrong place. But the battles are identified for us in 1 John chapter 2 and 15. The Bible tells us to believers who are needing assurance of their salvation. He tells us this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away. The real battle, or the battlefront on which we're waging war in this spiritual arena, is, first of all, the world all around us. Now, we're not talking about different types of food and culture, uncultural things like that. We're not just talking about the things that define different cultures. I enjoy over here, there's a restaurant called Kebab. It's Korean well-being food, and it's really great. It's like a Korean Chipotle is what it's like. It's really great. I enjoy it. You go in there and you start with some rice and you have them put on this topping, and then you have them put on the different sauces and stuff. It's great. Some of those things are wonderful and we can enjoy in different cultures, but the reality is the world around us is much more than culture and much more than food. There's ideologies and philosophies that are pushed in the world, on the world system. And so when the Bible says you aren't to love the world, it's not talking about don't love certain types of food or geographic locations. It's talking about the philosophies and the ideologies of this world. And there are many, aren't there? And they're constantly waging war against our soul and against us. Colossians 2 and verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Well, Paul, to the Colossian believers, puts Christ and the world philosophies in contradiction to each other, and they are. He says, you beware lest they spoil you. Now, you think about this word spoil, it's to take control of, to loot. Do you realize that philosophies can loot you of your spiritual well-being? And Satan is very crafty in that. He wants to drain you. And he doesn't come in, knock on the front door and say, I want to loot you. He does it little by little by little. I adopt a little philosophy there. I take in a little vain deceit there. And it loots us. It drains us of our spiritual wholeness before the Lord. The idea of the word goes on to be able to completely manipulate a person, conceived as carrying away somebody as a plunder. So the idea of just being able to come in and totally manipulate your Christian life. I've seen many believers become manipulated by the world. You know what? That's what he wants to do with our homes. That's what he wants to do with dads. That's what he wants to do with granddads. And it isn't just young. He wants to do it at all ages, and he works very hard to do that. Satan is crafty. He's looking to devour us. And we have an enemy, a battle being waged between us and the world. So it's either the world's way or God's way. You know, every once in a while, you'll find that we can walk on a way that is, you know, the world's going along one way, and we can follow the Lord and go along with them maybe in a certain point. But friends, we must understand that the world and God are diametrically opposed. Even if they come close to each other, they're diametrically opposed. And it will always lead you away. And what Satan loves to get us to do, well, we agree here and we agree here, and so we agree with everything. No. We are diametrically opposed. And the Bible says, love not the world. Love not the world. And so that's through all ages. And by the John, when he's speaking in 1 John, he talks to the young men. He talks to the older men. And he talks to all ages in there. And all of us need to remember this, love not the world. We can't. We must stand against it. Love not the world. The world's way or God's way. And there's a battle being waged there. But also the flesh, or our flesh, is a battlefront. The mind, the will, and the emotions, it seems like right between our two ears, there is a battle from the moment we get up, and sometimes even in the night. There's a battle that's being waged. And it's amazing how that is the reality. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, he says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Paul had to do that? He had to keep under his body? The picture is he's having to, like, you ever seen one of those I think they call them choker chains? I know maybe they aren't used that much anymore. I've seen all varieties of it, but that's kind of the picture I get of keeping under the body. Just on a short leash, Paul's saying, I'm constantly having to get after my flesh. My flesh is always wanting to go this way, and I think we'd all agree with that. My flesh is always wanting to go this way, and God wants me to go this way. But there's a battle that's being waged, and Paul himself said, hey, I have to keep under my body, and here's why. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Well, that's not just for a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary. That's us as dads. Lest when I've told my kids one thing, I do another. Right? So we have to keep under our bodies as dads. We can't expect our sons to be pure if we're not walking in purity. Like, moms have to do the same thing. And grandpas, listen, how many grandchildren are affected by the influence of their parents? Or of their grandparents, and they see grandpa going this way in later life. How important it is to keep under our body. So it's either the battle is self or the Savior. The world's way or God's way, self or the Savior. But think about this. We have another enemy or a battlefront, and it's between us and Satan. He's the tempter. He's the accuser. The first mention of Satan appearing and tempting in the Bible is Genesis 3:1. We don't even get 1,000 words into the Bible without seeing Satan rear his ugly head. And here's his question. This is all he asks. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say this? And you start out the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you know what? He continues through this day. He continues to this day, constantly putting a question where God has made a declaration. Yea, hath God said. And he is a tempter. And what does he do with on the basis of that question? Eve, if you take this, you will now be wise like God is. God is holding out on you. What he has said is not fully true. And you won't really die. And if you take this fruit, you'll get to know what God knows. You'll get to know what he's holding out on you on. And there's something more to know than what God has revealed to you. Yea, hath God said, but Revelation tells us he's the accuser of the brethren. And that's where you and I face it almost every single day, accusing us. And he does this before God. Yeah, he's no good. Jesus says, yeah, I already paid for him. He's covered. He's taken care of. Praise the Lord for that. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. But he's still the accuser of the brethren. So it's Satan's word against God's word. Satan is constantly fighting against us, and these are our battlefields. And you could add some more, but kind of boil it down, we have the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are facing that battlefront every single day of our lives. Our children are, our grandchildren are, no matter where we go, we are facing that battle. And friends, we need to win there. Now, something I want to say about this battle. On those battlefields, what is the war we're fighting? What is at hand? And I want us to realize, in every arena, the battle is for truth. The battle is for truth. And that is becoming really obvious in the day in which we live. The battle is all about truth. Now, we live in a day, we got to be very careful because there's a lot of blending of truth and error everywhere we look. And we are now really feeling that in the world in which we live. Can I really trust that news? Did they add in something? Is there a bias? Is there a slant on this? Is there something they're trying, an agenda they're trying to work out? But friends, let us remember this, that when you mix, and Satan's really crafty at this, when you mix truth and error, you undermine the certainty of truth. And so people just kind of stand back and say, like, well, how can I know it's true? And it really hurts truth. We have to be so very careful. That's why we need to not take man's word. We have to have our faith in the Word of God. Your faith cannot be in Josiah Kagan. Your faith cannot be in Grace Baptist Church. Your faith has to be in the Word of God. That's the foundation. And I remember what Paul said early on, 1 Corinthians, to the Corinthian believers. I'm not Lord over your faith. I'm not the foundation of your faith. The Word is Jesus Christ. He's a sure foundation you can always trust in. So the battle is for truth. The Bible says in Jude 3, Beloved, when I gave diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, what we understand to be the gospel, as written in God's Word, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What's he saying there? You need to contend. You need to battle for the truth that was delivered. You have to stand up for it. You have to stand your ground for this thing. And so until we see the spiritual battle for truth, we're going to constantly be getting blindsided in the physical realm. So when we wake up tomorrow morning, we need to realize we're waking up into a battle. You say, well, that's not what, you know, average Christianity in America says. You know, Christianity just releases you to live your best life now, every day of Friday. Well, you know, I'm certainly grateful that God's always with us, but the reality is what that brand of Christianity does is they're you know, tiptoeing through the tulips and, you know, having their time of everything's bright, everything's hunky-dory in Christianity. And I'm certainly grateful the blessings of God are new to us every single morning, but we're in a battle. And we need to realize that, and we need to wake up every single morning ready to fight that battle. And friends, too often in my own life, I get blindsided. And then I start fighting the wrong battle. I start fighting a person rather than a philosophy behind that, and going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need your strength to break through this and to teach and to help through this. I start looking at things that cause problems in my life, people that cause problems in my life, rather than the Satan behind that and my own wicked flesh that is, you know, acting up in pride against that. And I don't deal with a real issue, and it takes me sometimes, you know, an hour or so, or, you know, 3 days or a week to realize, wow, I've just been fighting, I've been wasting time fighting the wrong battle. And so, Lord, help us to fight the right battle. It's a spiritual battle for truth. And we also must utilize the right weaponry. And notice in verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal. What's that word carnal mean? Flesh. I always remember it, you know, if you go to the grocery aisle and you pick up chili con carne. Carne is flesh, meat. It's a Greek word for meat. So anyway, my mind goes there. It means flesh. So the weapons of our warfare are not flesh. We can't fight the flesh that he says we war against, that I have to keep under, with physical flesh. I can't use fleshly means to fight a spiritual battle. I have to be realizing that there are weapons that God has given to us, and they are mighty. Now notice, these fleshly weapons, we can say, you might pull out determination. Well, I'm just going to determine to break through this. I'm gonna show them what is right. I'm gonna win with my words against this argument. Or you might say, I'm going to isolate. That's how I'm going to fight this battle. I'm going to isolate. I'm going to get down in a foxhole. I'm going to isolate away from everyone else. I'm going to get away from it that way. Or the turning over a new leaf. That's how I'm going to have victory. I'm going to have a new leaf turned over. And this week, I'm not going to enter into that sin because I've turned over a new leaf. Or I'm going to change my environment. I'm going to change my environment. Because my environment's what's causing on this battle, you know, to be lost. And you have all these different things that we can, in the flesh, we can conjure up. Our own experience, our own understanding, other people's opinions on the matter. Or YouTube it, Google it. What does Google say I need to do in order to get through this? We can come up with all sorts of fleshly means by which we can fight these battles that are very spiritual. And they won't be mighty. The Bible puts it in contradiction. There are weapons that are fleshly and carnal, but there are weapons that are mighty, and they aren't the same. So if we want to win spiritual battles, we have to fight them with spiritual mighty tools that the Lord gives to us, weapons. They're mighty, they're spiritual, they're divinely empowered, and I pray that the Lord would help us to fight the right war with a white... I'm going to be like... Elmer Fudd here in a moment, with the right weaponry. Goodness. All right, so, but notice Ephesians 6:17, it says this, and take unto you the helmet of salvation, and then notice, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, be on guard thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What's the weapons that God's given us? Prayer and His Word. And it seems like we should find something more complex and more astounding than that, but it's not. It's prayer and His Word. How are you going to be guided in truth? By receiving truth. How do you receive truth? By being in His Word. How are you going to know what to do? By talking to Him and Him talking to you. Not audibly, but Him impressing by the Holy Spirit and leading you. What did Jesus say? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He told His disciples, if you don't want to yield to temptation, if you don't want to step into temptation, if you want to be victorious, you need to watch and pray. And so that's our weaponry. That's what we are to fight with. Warren Wiersbe said, Paul used spiritual weapons to tear down the opposition. Prayer, the Word of God, love, the power of the Spirit at work in his life. He did not depend on personality, human abilities, or the authority he had as an apostle. And we can do all those things. Well, I can break through this because I have a winsome personality. I know what to say in the moment. No. Paul said, I didn't come to you and preach with the clever words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to depend on that. We need the Holy Spirit tomorrow. We need the Holy Spirit as we put our kids to bed tonight. We need the Holy Spirit as we get to bed tonight and get our minds framed right for tomorrow. We need Him as a part of that weaponry. Can't fight the flesh with the flesh. We can't fight spiritual battles with the flesh, with the arm of our flesh. We just sing it. I didn't ask Brother Isaac to pick that song, but the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. That's so true. And we've all been there where we've defaulted. Don't you ever wish you could go into your like settings and default to trusting the Lord instead of default to trusting your own flesh? Like we default to trusting our flesh. And just seeing things with our eyes. And Lord, help us with that. So we have to have the right weaponry. But also, we must neutralize in the right way. Look at verse number 5. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So we're here in this battlefront. How do we deal with the battle that's in front of us? How do we deal with the spiritual issue that's raised up? How do we neutralize it? How do we render it ineffective? How do we deal with that? How do we break it down? Well, he says, you need to cast these things down. You need to refute. You need to destroy them. The refuting is conceived of as causing the destruction or the undoing of an argument. Sometimes you have to stop and process. What is actually being said here? You know, the Bible tells us that we are to be very discerning. The Holy Spirit would lead us to be discerning about everything we lead into our home, every piece of entertainment, every piece of material, reading, literature. We are to be discerning, constantly feeding that through. What is the Bible? What is truth? This is our confident source of truth. We need to pull everything through it. We need to look at the world around us. There's a song that we've taught in years past to the adventure camp. Put on your Bible glasses, because it's the answer to it all. Patch the Pirate wrote that song. Put on your Bible glasses. Well, it's true. We need a biblical worldview. That's what we need. And so if we're going to cast it down, we're going to have to be able to use spiritual arguments or spiritual words to deal with this matter. Paul said, that's what I did. He came in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. So we're to cast down what? Imaginations. Imaginations. The idea of logical conclusions. You know, our world is making a lot of logical conclusions and putting it out there, saying, you need to now accept it. Everywhere we turn, we're being confronted. Well, this is the science. This is what you must accept. And every high thing that exalteth itself, now notice this, against the knowledge of God, against knowing God. You know, the world thinks you are crazy for thinking that the priority in your life is having a relationship with God. The world thinks you're crazy. They call you weak, and only weak people need a relationship with God. You're leaning on a crutch. That's what they say. That's what people in high office in our country have said. And we're seeing the momentum move against those that say, I just want to know God. You know what Paul said? This one thing. I just want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, you must be a pretty weak individual if you can't get through life on your own. And so anything that exalts itself against the knowledge, against the who God is, what he's revealed himself as, and our relationship, our knowledge of him. And so I thought about what I've just mentioned. The science has been exalted above God's word. What's amazing to me is that God created science. And somehow Satan has been so crafty to pit science against God's word. It's so amazing to me. Follow the science. Follow the science. And they put them in contradiction to one another. The state has been exalted above God's word. Do you realize that? The state is and is being exalted above God's word. Right as we watch. That happened many, many years ago in communist countries. Marxism. All these things, the exalting of the state above God's word. Do you realize right now you are being defined as a Christian nationalist if you believe that your rights come from God and not from the state? Do you realize that is the working definition of a Christian nationalist right now, and that Christian nationalism is being put on an issue like a terror watch list? We are being maneuvered into a corner right now. This isn't about being political. This is you believing your rights come from God, which is what is stated in our Constitution. But it's fascinating, and we're seeing the state rise up and say, we're bigger than God. And we don't want to be told by anyone. We went through COVID, and there was a lot of telling churches, hey, you can't be together, but the bar can be together. It happened right here in our own state. I remember listening to the press conference when Governor DeWine said that the COVID is spreading inside of churches and left the bars open and said that they weren't the problem, but it was the churches. We have this momentum that is moving against it, and the state is being exalted above God. We are our own selves and our own hearts. Self can be exalted above God, and oftentimes is. I know better. I read that. I see that's what's being preached, what's being taught. I hear that. I'm being encouraged by other believers. But myself, we rise up against God. We're watching sexual perversion being exalted above God. Well, God said two gender self. That's just passé. Now there's 72 or 150. And for you to say it in the state of Michigan becomes a hate crime, and also in places like New York. We're literally watching these things happen. And it's happening around our country, being exalted against God. What does Jesus say to do? What does Paul say to them? You have to cast down every imagination, these conclusions. You have to cast down these high things. What does it mean? We're not talking about getting tanks and guns and swords and going after them. No, no, no. Remember, our Christianity isn't a religion of the sword. We're fighting a spiritual battle. What's our weaponry? Prayer and God's word. It means we can't stand back and say, you know what? I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to speak God's word because it's not accepted. We have to step into the battlefront with God's word and take our stand. We have to keep our position. We have to stand our ground. How did Christ neutralize what Satan and the religious leaders had to say? Well, that's what you say, but it is written. Matthew chapter 4. He takes them to the pinnacle of the temple, that high place, and he says, I'm going to give you everything if you worship me. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. It is written that you should worship no one but God. It says in Matthew 6 and verse 7, Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Mark chapter 7 and verse number 1, the Pharisees come to him, and they're watching the disciples eat with unwashed hands, and they're criticizing him, going after him about it. And he said, listen, you all say you got to eat with washing hands. You have to make sure that you've washed your hands. But I'm looking at you, and I'm realizing that you love to be clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're very, very dirty. And he deals with them by his word. He dealt with Satan through his word. And Jesus gave us a perfect example. How do you neutralize? Time after time, the Pharisees and the religious leaders walked away like, man, foiled again. Foiled again. Three times, Satan comes. And Jesus says, and it is written. It is written. And so we need to use the same method, the same way of going about dealing with the battles that are in front of us. How do you deal with the disobedience that seems like it just continues to pop up in your children, in your home? With the word of God and with prayer. Earlier this week, I was dealing with our youngest, and she was struggling to remember exactly what it was, but anyway, I sat down and talked with her, and I asked her if it honored the Lord, and we talked through it, and before we were done, we stopped, and I said, you need to talk to the Lord about this, and she stopped and talked to the Lord and asked his forgiveness, and it was a blessing to see her in that. It was disobedience, that it's like a disobedience, and there was one other offense against the word of God. But anyway, I realized that in that moment, much is done in their heart when we use God's word and when we go to the Lord in prayer, and even in their little hearts as they pray out and talk to the Lord, I'm sorry for disobeying mom. I'm sorry for lying, or whatever the offense is. And we take the word of God and we apply it right in there and bring prayer into it. And it's a powerful thing when we pray for them in that way. So how do we deal with it with our coworkers? Listen, there's going to be times where we need to mention the word of God. I cannot do this because this is what my God tells me. And pray as you're going to say that. Ask him for the strength to say that. And ask him for demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit as you say that. But we have to stand by his truth. But then he says, take every one of these in captivity. Captivity, the idea to take control of, to assume the power of influence over, to direct, determine someone, conceived as taking someone captive like a prisoner of war. So those thoughts And those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, you are to capture, and you are to bring in subjection to Christ. So cast down and capture. Again, this is not a physical thing. We are talking using prayer and the Word of God, taking every high thing, every thought that seeks status above the knowledge of God. That's what we're to do. That's how we're to neutralize these things. So 1 John says this, 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Try it. We're constantly discerning. Is this something that is exalting itself above God? Remember this, it's not just in the moment. Sometimes you might look at something, you look and say, well, it seems harmless. What is it going to produce 5 years from now? What is it going to produce in your children 5 years from now? Where is it going to lead you 5 years from now? Or just a year? And some things that seemed harmless now, isn't Satan crafty? Some things that seem harmless now will bring real bad fruit later on, will bring defeat later on. We want to try every spirit, and we cannot entertain one thought or one high thing that exalts itself against God. Did you notice there in verse number 5, it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So entertaining one wrong thought or one worldly thought or one high thing that exalts itself up against God or above God is disobedience to Christ. We can't entertain one. So we got to deal with them all. So we must neutralize in the right way. And then lastly, we must mobilize with the right walk. In verse number 6, he says to them, to the Corinthians, "and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience." Sometimes you and I, we start fighting battles or dealing with problems, even in our families or within our church, before we have done right before the Lord, before we have Christ. And sometimes in our pride, it's really easy to see other people's problems before we see our own or before we take care of our own. Now, Paul, I don't believe, is saying that we have to be perfect before we deal with things, but we should have dealt with them. We should be dealing with them. We should be on a path of victory. And it says, you need to have a readiness to revenge. Now, we just learned on Sunday, twice on Sunday, that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So what in the world does revenge here talk about? Really, I believe it deals with just the matter of dealing with it, bringing justice to all disobedience, dealing with it. And remember, he's talking to a church community that is struggling with a lot of sin. And some of the sin they've let fester inside of the church, and they've not dealt with it. And he says, you need to be ready. You need to have a readiness to deal with it after you have obeyed the truth, after you have found a victory in the midst of all this. So bring that justice against that. And justice, what would it be? Aligning it with God's truth, bringing it back into order. Again, Warren Wiersbe, he's one of, if you're looking for commentators on Scripture, he's one of my favorites and one that I refer to often. But he said this, "There was disobedience in Corinth because Christians were believing lies instead of the truth of God's word. Paul warned them that he would smash their arguments and false doctrines and bring their hearts and minds into a place of obedience. Church problems are not solved by simply changing the constitution, revising the church program, or reorganizing a board, but by confronting people and problems with the Word of God." You know what our church needs the most to be victorious in the spiritual battle? It needs the Word of God. What you and I need the most to be victorious in the battlefront is the Word of God. That's what we need. And a steady diet of it in our own lives, we can't do this whole thing of go Sunday to Sunday without the Word of God. It doesn't work. We will not be a strong church. We will not be victorious in that. And so we need the Word of God, and we need to be ready, even as we learned on Sunday night, to warn those that walk disorderly, to deal with the issues that come up in front of us as we are obeying the Lord, even of ourselves. So we can't expect others to be in submission to the truth if we're not in submission to the truth. The church is made up of individuals. Never underestimate the power of your influence in this body. Never underestimate the power of your obedience and the influence of that obedience in this body. You saying yes to the Lord, you having victory in your life, us having victory in our lives is a powerful impact. And people need to see that. Your family needs to see that, but this body does. So it's so easy to get, you know, as Jesus talked about in Luke 6, so easy to see the mote, the little speck in somebody else's eye. Well, there's a beam in our eye. And the world talks about that, you know, the hypocritical nature of, you know, of believers. We struggle with that sometimes, but it's a valid thing that Jesus challenges us about. It's really easy to see something going on in somebody else's life and not mine. And the best thing that we can do with that is ask the Lord, Lord, I need to walk in humility in the midst of this battle. I need to realize that I am fallen, I have blind spots, I have problems, and be ready to allow the Lord to grow them. So let's just recap here for a moment. If we're going to be successful in this battlefront, the spiritual battlefront that you are waging right now, whether it's vividly real to you or not, you are waging. So let's first of all recognize the right war. It's a spiritual battle for truth. In your mind, in your workplace, in your home, it's a spiritual battle for truth. Every piece, entertainment, everything that comes into your home, it's a spiritual battle for truth. Does Satan win or does God win? Is his truth exalted or is your truth, if there is such a thing, right, exalted? It's a spiritual battle for truth. So recognize the right war. Utilize on the right weaponry, the Word of God in prayer, every single day. Oh, how we need to be doing that. And we need to neutralize with the right way. We need to cast down and we need to capture, bring it to obedience to Christ. We need to align it with God's truth. Everything that exalts itself against God, we need to bring it in its proper order under God. Everything. So if that's the way you've been thinking about your situation, you think that God's done the wrong thing in your situation, he's not treated you well, and you're now in the position of telling God how he ought to be God, you need to bring that into right subjection. Cast that down. You know, a lot of times our depression and the way that we're struggling in our lives, I realize some of that can be physical, but sometimes it's very, very spiritual. And we are in this mindset that what God has allowed in my life is not okay, and I'm upset at him, and we put ourselves above God. That has to be captured, has to be cast down, and put away, and then mobilized with the right walk. We can help others, we can deal with things in other lives as we are walking in obedience ourselves. And so may the Lord help us with that. I know there's a little bit of controversy surrounding Thomas Kincaid. Any of you have some of his art pieces, you know, what did they call him? Yeah, he's the painter of light. And so, anyway, he was an interesting guy, but he said this: you have to expect spiritual warfare whenever you stand up for righteousness or call attention to basic values. It's just a matter of light battling darkness. The light wins every time. You can't throw enough darkness on light to put it out. And I agree with him on that. And friends, we do have to remember that we are on the winning side. And we need to operate with that mentality. And we need to stand up for the light. Listen, the ideologies that are being pushed on you in the workplace and in the world, we feel like we're losers in it. They're coming up to us with all these you know, wonderful, you know, these thought out conclusions. Listen, the Word of God will go through that. And we have to stand up with the light and say, no, this is what my God says. And so let's not be intimidated in the midst of the battle and on this battlefront. Let's pray and ask him to help us. Father, thank you for the resources that you've given to us. And we pray that we would be victorious. Lord, I think of my own life even this week of struggling in the battle and getting my attention in the wrong place. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit who gently and sometimes very, very boldly deals with that in my own life. And I pray that this week that you do the same in my friends' lives, that you would help us to keep our attention on the right war, and that we would not be fighting the enemies that we have with our arm of flesh, trusting ourselves. Help us to fight the right battle, the right weapons. and doing it in your way. We pray for your help in this. Please protect us as we travel home tonight. Use us to go and tell this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.